Hey everyone, this is Tommy Smarts, and I'm so glad you're joining with us today. If you're part of the South Towns family or new, we would love to connect with you on our many social media platforms or our website. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by. We invite you to worship with us live. I hope today's message will encourage you and inspire you to draw closer to Jesus. Let's get to the message. Well, good morning, everybody. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? I know I am. I am so glad to be here today to worship. We can turn the house lights on. We're going to get right into the Word today. I said this morning that we had an amazing 8:30 service. This service this morning at 8:30, I believe, we drew the line in the sand. We're going to draw it here at the 10 o'clock as well. Okay, church? We're going to ask God for a revolution of a spiritual outpouring in this house. We're going to ask God for an upper room experience that will last forever. We're going to ask God for an outpouring. But we're not going to just ask God. We're going to have to do some things on our part moving forward. We're going to start a series today. And this series is actually on the book of Acts, okay? And we're going to talk. I don't even know how long we're going to talk about it. But we are going to talk about the book of Acts. We're going to learn from the book of Acts. We're going to learn from the beginning church of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit filled and revolutionized humanity. Not because of the people, but because of the Spirit of God. And that's our goal here, that the Spirit of God fills this place each and every day. So I'm going to need you to agree with me today. So, I have this one to read to you before I get into the Word. Every word that has been spoken in this house shall come to pass, not because of who you are, but because of who He is. It's because of the mercy of God and the grace and that the desires that our hearts have had, it shall come to pass. It's because of the goodness of God. And some of us have been holding on to words that God spoke to us. Don't let go of them. Don't let go of them. So, just want to take a second here. You can definitely sense the presence of God. And if you're at home, I hope that you're feeling the same thing that we're feeling here. But I've titled today's message this, Life as a Believer. See, what is your life as a believer like? What is your life as a Christian, as a believer of Jesus? Is your life alive? Is it vibrant? Is it full of joy and happiness? Is there peace that is poured upon you when you may be going through a stressful time? Is your life as a believer full of the presence of God Himself? Is your life as a believer full of the presence of God and you have a tangible evidence of God doing something supernatural? Or is your life as a believer boring, dead? Is it full of defeat? Is it full of worry and anxiety and fear? Are you consumed by everything that's happening around you where it's sucked all your life out of you and your attention is now on those things that are happening around us and not on the cross of Jesus Christ? See, I believe that most of us will fall into one of those two categories. But see, I'm believing that if you fell in the first category, you will only be propelled to new levels. And if you're in the second category of a believer, you will be transformed into who God wants you to be. And you will begin to walk in victory. You will begin to walk with fullness of life. You'll begin to walk with joy. You will be alive. And the Spirit of God will be moving through you and over you and all around you. And you will be happy. And you will see an evidence of God doing something in the supernatural. Amen? So we're going to look at this church, the early church, the church in the book of Acts, because we're going to examine it because we are looking for breakthrough. We are looking to be spiritually awakened to new levels in Him and through Him. I know I am. I know I am. And I hope that everyone here, too, is looking for more. We're going to examine and we're going to discover how powerful that church was and how when the Spirit of God was released upon them, not only were they powerful, but they affected all those that came into contact with them. Are you contagious? Is my question today. Now, that's not a good word to use right now, is it? Always me. This comes out. But are you contagious with the Spirit of God all over you? When you walk into a crowd, do you begin to, not you, but the Spirit of God in you, does it begin to take control of the atmosphere around you? Do people look at you and say, what is it about you that I sense all around you? That, you know, everything that's going on in the world, that you have a smile on your face. You always speak life and not death. You have an outlook that it's going to be okay. See, are you contagious? See, this church was contagious. These people, these individuals were contagious. So we're going to look at the power and the effect that the Spirit of God, you know, had released upon them. We're going to pray that it is released upon us here today. We're also going to notice that the people of the early church, they embraced and responded to God, and they also responded to the move of God. They didn't ignore it. They didn't deny it. They didn't try to call it something other than it was. They're like, yes, that's God moving. We try to label everything, and we try to manipulate everything, and we try to say something's this or something's that, when the reality, it just might be a move of God. So we should embrace the move of God. We should say, God, pour more into us and pour more on us. And we're going to see that as we go through the book of Acts. We're going to notice that these individuals were one way, but all of a sudden, whether they were in the upper room or they heard Peter preaching or they were a part of something else was going on, all of a sudden this group of people began to be changed because of God. And my prayer is that we're changed by the move of God. We need to understand that when there's an awakening, there's an outpouring of God's presence, that where we are at, and as it's being released, wherever we may be, that place becomes a place of hope. That place becomes a place of rest and security. That place where God begins to release His Spirit becomes a place of love, becomes a place of transformation. When the Spirit of God comes, it becomes a place of renewal and transformation. It becomes a place of deliverance. It becomes a place of the glory of cloud taking us over. How many of us are tired of really not really being in that presence? Anyone? I see a couple hands in the room today. We need that. And so I said, you know, I came in today and Christian looked at me and says, you all right? Pastor Scott looked at me and says, you all right? I'm like, man, I've been agitated for 2 days. I mean, agitated. And in the first service, worship began to happen and it was broke. It was a spiritual agitation because I'm riling up the enemy. I drew the line in the sand. I riled it up. It, in the midst of everything happening, we need God more than ever. We need a true revival. We need a true touch of the Spirit of God, not only in the church, but in our culture. But it's going to take the body of Christ to be the messengers. It's going to take the body of Christ to be the workers in the field. And so I'm ready to release this message to you. So I'm going to ask you to open your spirit, man. I'm going to ask you to open your mind. I'm going to ask you to be willing to receive what God would speak to you today. There are pens in front of you, and there's paper in front of you, prayer cards, whatever. If God is speaking something to you, either here or even at home, grab a pen and paper and write it down, for God is going to maybe begin to reveal things to you that will help you grow and move deeper in this divine relationship that He's so calling us to have with Him. Let's go to the scripture real quick and look at what the scripture declares. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, Peter had just preached an amazing message to the crowds. And after he was done preaching and teaching and proclaiming the truth of Jesus, the Bible says in verse 41 of chapter 2, it says, those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 people. And that's just one instance, okay? But here's what I love that I want to share with you, because I want to talk about now the believer itself today. And the believer is you and I. It says this, verse 42. All believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. devoted themselves. Not skimmed it, not used it when it was convenient, not listened to it when there was just a need, but devoted themselves, committed themselves to the teachings of God, to the teachings of Jesus, to what the apostles and the disciples, what they saw firsthand that they would release to those that they came in. They grabbed a hold of them and committed to it, committed to what it stood for, what it standed, what it meant. It went on, it says, and to fellowship and to the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. It says, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They died to self. They began to look to the person next to them and say, you know what? They need something that I can help and impact their life with. They were willing to give of themselves to love someone else, to embrace and to help somebody else. It goes on, it says, they worshiped together. They worshiped together in the temple. They worshiped God together. They weren't lone rangers off in their huts or in their, you know, out wherever they would have lived all alone saying, I could do this myself. No, they realized the importance of being unified in the spirit of unity to worship God. Goes on and says that, and while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people and each other, each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, give us a true divine revelation of what you would speak to us today. Let us receive it. Help us apply it. Change us from the inside out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in the word today. And so I want to look at these believers because I think what I just read to you was a great layout of what they did and what they began to do. See, I believe when you look at that, you can pull a few things out of it. One, I believe that when they heard the message of God and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit touched them, they began to spiritually align themselves with what God was doing. There was an alignment. I also believe that we see that they became very devoted and disciplined in the things of being a believer. It just wasn't coming to the temple once a week and then going home and not thinking about God, not doing anything regarding God, but they actually got disciplined in certain things, and we're going to talk about those in a few moments. And I also believe that they understood the importance of unity, spiritual unity with the Father, but also unity with one another. And I don't know about you, but if we look outside in the world today, that's one of the least things happening around us is unity. And we need unity, and we need the Spirit of God out there. And we need to be the mouthpieces that are be willing to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ to make a difference. And so when I look at this early church and I think of alignment and I think of discipline and I think of unity, we have to really go back to those who are presenting it after they came out of the upper room. And we have to go all the way back to the journey of their alignment, and that's the disciples. See, because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 that the disciples, they were fishing, some of them. And all of a sudden this man named Jesus walked up, right? And he walked up to them and he asked them this question, will you come follow me? Will you come follow me? That was the first step of spiritual alignment with these individuals. See, they were fishermen by trade. Their livelihood depended on catching fish. And now this man, known as Jesus, that I'm sure they heard of in their area or maybe even possibly saw doing some teachings, he now stands before them and says, I want you to stop doing all that you've been doing, and I want you to now align yourself with me, the Son of God, and I want you to, you know, stop, flip it over, dry out the nets, do what you got to do, and come, and I will make you fishers of men. And they had a choice that day. Were they going to align themselves with Jesus? Or were they not going to align themselves with Jesus? And I believe because they aligned themselves with Jesus, you saw the things and you read in the Gospels of the amazing things that took place because they were willing to align. Am I willing to align with God today? Am I willing to align with what God is asking me to do? Am I willing to align with what the Word of God is telling me I should be doing? Am I willing to align myself with God Almighty Himself? these individuals were. And then not only did they align themselves with God, but they had the ability to walk with God through the everyday grind and through the everyday, you know, battle that was ahead of them as people living on this place called planet Earth. And so I have to ask myself, am I going to align with God and am I going to walk alongside of God through life? And whether it's a good time or a bad time, whether I'm grinding through a situation, am I going to walk alongside Jesus? This is how breakthrough happens. This is how renewal begins to take place. This is how the outpourings of God begins to take place. Can I just say something and no one be offended? But in today's day and age, we were talking earlier, as a pastor, anything a pastor says, everybody gets offended about anyways. So please don't be offended. But the reality is, if I'm going to continue to stay home in my house and do nothing spiritually all week long and only come to church service for the hour and 15, an hour, 20 minutes, I really believe that we're not really truly spiritually aligning ourselves with God. We're not. And then what happens is, then we're frustrated and we get angry with God. Well, God, you didn't give me this, and God, you didn't. Well, you're not aligned. You're laying on the couch eating Girl Scout cookies, watching reruns of, you know, Jersey Shore. My wife's out of town. I just let in on the secret. No, seriously. And then we're like, but I'm not aligning with God. I'm not aligning with the Word of God. I'm not aligned. And I'm not walking it out each and every day. They were different. We can learn from them. And thirdly, they had the faith then, after Jesus died on the cross and went to the grave and rose from the grave, they had the faith to listen to him and go to the upper room because he said, I'm going to give you something that you need. I'm going to give you something that will empower you. I'm going to give you something that is life-changing, that will take you to a whole new level, and that's something that you are going to get is called the Holy Spirit. But I need you to, by faith, go to this room and wait for the time. And the time is coming soon, and it's going to be released upon you. And these individuals went to the upper room. And in Acts chapter 2, I believe it's verse 1 or 1 through 5, it says, suddenly the Spirit of God came. And so the alignment process for those individuals started when Jesus called them, and they walked all the way to the point of the book of Acts and with him until he died and rose and the Spirit of God fell. But what about the new believers? Because I believe we fall in that category. We're the new believers. We hear the message of Jesus being preached. We hear it whether live, whether podcast, whether on YouTube, Vimeo, whether, you know, we're listening to it on CDs or whatever we listen. What about us? The question is, will we align ourselves with God? Will we become disciplined, and will we become unified? Not only with him, but with one another. See, if we're going to do that, we have to look at some of the things that took place with them. See, the disciples and the new believers in the church in the book of Acts, they align themselves with God, right? But they also align themselves with the move of the Holy Spirit. Let me repeat that. They align themselves with the actual moving of the Holy Spirit. They didn't say, well, the Holy Spirit isn't for today, you know. The book of Acts, we should just remove it from the Bible because it's not relevant in today's culture. No. They didn't do that. They saw the Spirit of God move. They heard the upper room. They experienced a true touch. When 3,000 people are healed and set free or come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, there's a realization that this is something supernatural. And so what they did was they aligned themselves with the moving of the Holy Spirit. And what they did was they didn't run away from it because it was something new or something that they didn't experience before or something they didn't even know about. They said, oh, God is moving. And it just may be a new way. And so they embraced the move of the Spirit. Church, we have to embrace what God wants to do in the move of the Spirit. We cannot say, well, that's not God or this is God. Just maybe if God's doing something, we should say, hey, God, is that you doing something? Is that you moving in that dimension? Are you releasing this way now? And stop going, well, you know, back in 1992, when my friend was playing drums in the worship team, we had soaking services where then you laid on the carpet and you just waited for God to move. And we accepted that. But now we get trapped and think that, well, God moves only this way, or God only moves that way, or God will only touch me if the pastor anoints me with oil and prays over me and lays both hands on my forehead and there's a catcher behind me in case I fall. No, God will move in the way God sees fit to move, in the situation in which he wants to move in. And it could be different for every person. But they saw this great move of God and they aligned themselves with the church. Will we align ourselves with the move of the Holy Spirit today? Will we embrace what the Spirit of God wants to do? Will we let it flow over us? Will we let it flow through us? Will we embrace what God wants to do? They did. And they changed the face of the church. They changed the face of the world, actually. But not only did they align themselves with the move of the Holy Spirit, they aligned themselves with the teaching of God. They aligned themselves with the teaching of God, God's Word. It says they devoted themselves to the Word of God, the Word that they were being taught, right? They're being taught the Word of God because those individuals spent time with Jesus, and Jesus taught them. And so they took the Word of God, the truth that they saw and experienced because they were walking alongside when they aligned themselves with Jesus, and they walked and they saw Jesus grab the casket in Nain and look at the mother and say, do you want your son to live, right? And he raises, puts his hand on the coffin and says, you no longer are dead, rise up from the dead. And this boy sat up in the coffin. They saw him call forth, you know, the man with the withered hand and said, stretch it forth. They saw the teachings. They sat at the table. They themselves were taught. And now they're teaching the Word of God. They're teaching the words of Jesus, the message that Jesus gave them to release. They're now teaching it, and these new believers are embracing it. And you know what? They're not adding to it, and they're not subtracting from it. They're not trying to take the word that Jesus would speak and fit it to their situation, maybe removing part of the passage or, you know, looking at the passage and taking it totally out of context. No, they embraced it for the fullness of what it was. And it changed their lives forever. It changed them. Not only did the Holy Spirit change them, but the Word of God changed them. And they embraced it and they aligned with it. They paid close attention to what was happening. See, because the results of aligning ourselves with the Spirit of God and aligning ourselves with the Word of God, what happens is they begin to become spiritually nourished and strong in their faith. They became to be spiritually nourished. If I am not in my Word, I will not be spiritually nourished. That's the fact. No ands, ifs, or buts about it. If I'm not hearing it, if I'm not reading it, if I'm not internalizing it, if I'm not repeating it, if I am not living it, I will not be nourished by the Word of God. You cannot be nourished by something that you do not put in you. Okay? You cannot be. Like right now, I'm thinking of filet mignon. Right now. That's the way my brain works. I told you, I'm scattered. You can be talking to me. I'll see a squirrel run. I'll be like, whoa, what's up? I'm thinking of filet. There's my friend back there who knows what I'm talking about, filet. Now, I don't like it red at all. I want it totally brown all the way through, all right? No bleeding, nothing running down. But me thinking about filet is not putting protein into my body in any way, shape, or form. Until it's actually cooked and I ingest it, and take it into my body, I will receive nothing of that protein from that piece of meat. Now, for you vegans, I'm thinking of the lettuce my daughter's growing in the garden. And if I don't ingest that, then I won't get the nutrients from that. Do you see what I'm saying? It's the same with the Word of God. If I'm not aligned with it, if I'm not ingesting it, I'm not getting nutrition from it. I'm not getting what is needed to move forward. They understood this. But what I loved about them, not only did they embrace the move of the Holy Spirit, not only did they embrace the teachings of God, but they also embraced prayer. Now listen, prayer is not the most popular thing in the church. See, they looked at prayer as a priority. It should be the most popular thing in church. Let me say that. But they looked at prayer as a priority, not an afterthought. You know what I mean by that, don't you? That we go into something and we don't pray about it. And then we go into something and all of a sudden everything around us falls apart. And it's like the end of the world. And all of a sudden we're like, let's pray. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hang on a second. Let's back it up. Before we do something, let's pray about what we're going to go into and say, Lord, is that something I should be involved in? Or is it not? Should I embrace or shouldn't I embrace? Should I do? See, they looked at prayer as a priority and not an afterthought. They realized it was something major and not a minor factor in their life and their relationship with Jesus. Because prayer truly is the one direct line to the Father. It is. It's not Verizon. It's not, you know, T-Mobile. It's no, the direct line to Jesus Christ is prayer. To the throne room of God is prayer. And if you want to get real spiritual and become more disciplined, add fasting to the prayer while you're reading God's word, while asking the Holy Spirit to fill you and come over you in your prayer closet. See, they understood prayer and the importance of it. It said that they continually prayed. They were continually in prayer. They recognized that not only was it a direct line, but they recognized that it was the avenue to intimacy with the Father. It was an avenue to draw close and connect with God. Not an afterthought. It is. It's the one of the least attended functions at church is the prayer meeting. I think sometimes because we look at ourselves and we say, well, I don't know how to pray. And if I go to the church, pastor's going to ask me to pray out loud into a microphone. You know how to pray. You know what the best way for you to pray is? Two ways. One, in the spirit, or two, the way you talk to, well, maybe not, but the way you nicely talk to somebody else. Conversation. That's all it is. Hey, Lord, it's me again. I know I'm bugging you today, but you know what? I'm really interceding for my kids here, God. I want this breakthrough, and God, if that's part of your plan and your will in their lives, Lord, I pray that you begin to intervene in that way, in that manner that is needed for this. Lord, you know, I know so-and-so and so-and-so, they're sick. Lord, I know that your word declares, man, that in you is healing and wholeness, and that by the blood of Jesus, that healing comes. And so, God, I ask you, just God, can you touch their life today? Can you begin to bring wholeness to them and begin to touch? That's how I pray. The way I talk to you is the way I talk to God. And then depending on where I'm at, it could be like all lovey-dovey, or it could be like questions, my hands thrown up in the air and all that other stuff. Like, are you kidding me, God? What's going on? But that's what we have to do, is we have to talk to God. We talk to everybody else, don't we? Listen, if I talk to 952 people at the department store down the street, I better be talking to God. You know, right? It's so important. It's so important. They understood. They aligned with it. And they aligned, and they realized that prayer releases a sensitivity to the direction that God wants to give us, but a sensitivity to the Spirit's moving. See, so when we see something and we're not sure if it's God or not God, it's like, hey, Lord, is that you? Are you moving in that way? Is that really your Spirit that's happening? Is that an outpouring? And you'll know that you know, because you'll begin to get that sense, that tingling, or whatever, whatever God does in you, you'll realize, oh, that is or that isn't. They knew that. They aligned in prayer. They aligned in their teachings of God. They aligned with the Holy Spirit. And that says they aligned and they participated in communion. They understood the importance of the table of covenants, of the importance of Jesus dying on the cross. Because, see, I'd be willing to bet that they said, hey, one day we were with Jesus, and we were at this table, and he whipped out a loaf of bread and a glass of wine, and he's like, listen, guys, I'm out of here soon. I'm gone. But what's going to happen is I'm going to die on the cross for you. And see this piece of bread here? This is a representation of my body, and it's going to be broken for you for a specific reason. And this is this wine. It's wine, but really it's a symbolic representation of my blood. And when this body is broken on the cross and this blood is shed, dripping off my body, what happens is the meaning behind this, when you receive it, is your sins will be forgiven, you will be made whole, and you may be clean, and you will come into this divine fellowship and relationship with God Almighty. See, they understood that. And they're like, I have to partake of this on a regular basis. See, they understood that. And they were disciplined. And in order to move in the Spirit, in order to move in the Word and know the Word and to do those things that were needed, they were disciplined. And when I speak of discipline, I'm speaking of a controlled form of our behavior, right? We discipline ourselves, not like beat ourselves, but we put into practice something. We become disciplined in, you know, we set a goal. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. My daughter, I will share a story real quick because she's not here and it's okay. She looked at me and she says, I'm going to run for 30 straight days, Dad. She's an athlete at college and she goes, I want to do this challenge that someone gave me. And I'm like, okay. She goes, you want to do it? I'm like, no. I'm like, no, thank you. And I watched her transform in 30 days. Watched that alarm clock get up at 7 in the morning. And she'd get up and she would do her stretching and then she'd put her running shoes on. And she'd go run 2 or 3 miles every day and then she'd come home. And then the next day she'd do it again. And she went through it and she disciplined herself. It became an everyday part of her everyday schedule. She disciplined herself to eat a certain way, to do it. And that's what they did when it came to the things of God. They disciplined. They said, you know what? I'm going to read my word here. I'm going to pray at this time. I'm going to go to the temple every day and be a part of the church service. I'm going to take communion. They disciplined. They changed their behavior. And it affected and it did something supernatural in their lives. If we are not spiritually disciplined and focused, we may miss what God's trying to do and what God's trying to say. We may miss this great awakening that's coming, that's beginning to be released. We're going to miss some things with it. And so we must be disciplined to be aware and understand and hear the voice of God with clarity. That's what they did. That's who they were. See, what they did is actually who they were. They were people who believed in the Spirit of God. They were people who believed in the Word of God. They were people who believed in prayer. They were people who believed in the elements and what they represented of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's who they were. And it was a part of their DNA. It was a part of their life. They were aligned with God. They were aligned with Him. Are we aligned with God? See, but they also understood this. They also embraced the spirit of unity. Embrace means that they accepted it. They willingly and enthusiastically accepted unity. They wanted it. Unity meaning they were joined in oneness. They were joined in harmony without division. Now, I'm going to share with you a fact, and this is truth, and some of you may get offended by it. Please don't get offended, but I have to speak truth. And here's the truth that I will share with you this morning. That the body of Christ today is fractioned, and at times it's very divided. That's the truth. Can you agree with me? Yes? Okay. All right. I say that because we have to fix it. We have to make a difference. We have to make a change. The world has to look at the church as a lighthouse, as an example, as a beacon of hope, as a place where they can go and have things taken care of if they're going through a struggle. Or we have to be the lighthouse that God has called us to be. And if we're broken, and if we're fractioned, and if we're not living in unity with the Father, with the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, if we're not living in unity with one another, if we're not living in unity with the other local bodies of the church, there's going to be a problem. And the world will look at it and say, why would I want to be a part of that broken thing that I see happening in front of me? And so the reality is the church is fractioned and at times very divided. And it's divided on a lot of different things. It's divided on what's going on in culture right now. With all the injustices, with all the political, with all the social, with everything happening, it's very divided. And what happens is then the church begins to talk about it, and then they look at their brothers and sisters in Christ, and if they don't agree on the same exact principles or the same thoughts that they believe are principles, they begin to spew hate at one another, and we're supposed to be connected together in love. We can disagree, and that's okay to disagree. Let me share a story that really breaks my heart, but I'm going to share it with you to tell you how true this is. I had a leader in a church tell me that he would question salvation, someone's salvation based on their political affiliation. Come on. Oh, this is real. We gas now, but the reality is if I start talking political parties up here, some of the people get really upset with me if I start laying them out. So he says, listen, he says, if they're part of this particular political party, then I would question even their salvation. No, I wouldn't question their salvation based off their political affiliation. I would base their salvation based off of their relationship with Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross. Did they accept him for who he is? Did they come with a repentant heart and say, Lord, forgive me of what I've done. Lord, become my Lord and Savior. That's how you base salvation. You do not base it off what you are registered as a voter. But what happens is we bring that into the body and then we get fractioned and we get divided and then people get hurt and then people leave the church and then people want to be a part of it. But the reality is do you know that Jesus was part of a political party? And it wasn't the Republicans. It wasn't the Democrats. It wasn't the conservatives. It wasn't the far left or the far right. It wasn't whatever parties they're making up right now. He was political. He was part of the political party of the kingdom of God. Amen. End of story. That's the political party. He represented the Father and stood for the Father's principles and morals. And he had the attributes of the Father, and he lived them out. But unless we see it that way, we're going to be fractioned. We're going to be divided. We see this division in today, even in cross-denominational unity. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, it's very simply like this. We have the Baptist Church. We have the Catholic Church. We have the Wesleyan Church. We are a non-denominational, spirit-filled church. We have the Foursquare Church. We have the full God. We have the Assemblies of God. We have my friend's Bapticostal. He's part Baptist and part Pentecostal. We have all these different denominations. But the problem is, where the division comes is this: well, you're part of that denomination, and you're wrong. It happens. Can I tell you a secret? That when I go home to be with the Lord, that I'm going to be dancing with my Baptist friends in heaven. I'm going to be raising my hands with my friends who are Catholics. I'm going to be dancing with those who are Wesleyan. I'm going to be dancing with all of those non-denominational, spirit-filled churches like SCC. Why? Because it's not about the denomination. It's about Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. And we need to understand that. We have to realize that, but we don't. And so what happens is there's fractions and there's division. And so this early church looked at that, and if you read through it, the only division was those who were believers and non-believers. They were like, yo, he goes to temple on the other side of the tracks. No, don't go. They weren't like that. Like, oh, there's a brother. He goes to the temple in this city. Oh, there's a brother who worships over here with this group of believers. No, there's another brother and sister, and they're we're the body of Christ. They understood the unity. They understood unity so much that they cared for one another, that they actually ate with one another, that they sold those things that were needed to help other people survive. They weren't looking and saying, well, you know what, I have all this stuff and this is my stuff, and if you don't have it, too bad. No, they're like, oh, you need something? Hey, would you buy this from me? Oh, here's some money. Go here, take care of that. See, that was their mindset. And if we're going to have a great move of God, we have to align with God, we have to become disciplined, and we have to understand the importance of unity. So I'm going to say something very loud and clear. So get your pen and paper and write this down, all right? Here's what I'm going to say. To become powerful and effective inside the church and outside the church, we must become one unified body, okay? One church under the divine headship and leadership of God Almighty. That's it. That's truth. If we're going to be effective outside and inside, if we're going to live in unity outside and inside the church, we have to come under the headship and leadership and lordship of Jesus Christ Almighty. When that begins to happen, we will see an alignment happen and disunity begin to disappear and the body of Christ become one unified body because we're allowing the Spirit of God to move in our lives. Let me just speak this. Maybe you're going through something at home, and let me just say this. Maybe you're sensing there's a spirit of disunity in your household. Let me encourage you to say, Lord Jesus, take control of my house. Become the head of my household, that I can be the person that you want me to be, that, Lord, your Spirit of God would consume every room in this household, and, God, you would break the spirit of division, but you would begin to release the spirit of unity, unity amongst the husband and wife, unity amongst the children and the husband and the wife, unity amongst everyone in that household, because, God, you're the head. You're the head. And I believe it's so important for us as the body to realize about unity. It preaches easy in the sense it preaches good. Yeah, Pastor, we're all about unity. Until someone disagrees with what you feel is right. Then that person is no longer, yeah, we're together, brother. No, it's like, oh, I can't believe he didn't agree with me. It's okay to disagree. But what we need to do is make sure that Jesus is the head and that we're aligned with him in his word and the Holy Spirit. And so, Christian, you can come up. So I want to just give you a few things here to help you when we're speaking of unity and being aligned. You're getting something today? Getting something today? Amen. I believe that this is just the beginning of what God's going to do here. We're seeing more and more people come back to church. Here at the three different services that we have. We're working on some Sunday school things to help our kids reconnect with the things of Jesus and our teenagers, our young adults. We're doing that. But I believe that this is today. I believe I was so spiritually agitated all week because this message wanted to be postponed and postponed. And I was like, no, we're going to roll with this. Because, God, that's what you want to do, that you want us to become a body of believers that's aligned with you, that's aligned with your word, and that's going to fight for unity. Fight for unity in you and unity with our brothers and sisters in the church and outside the church. But you know, what I love about the scripture is how it just lays things out so beautiful and so true and so crystal clear a lot of times, actually. And so I want to read something to you from the book of Ephesians because I think speaking of unity, we must... And speaking of alignment and fellowship and unity and discipline, we must look at having the attitude of Christ to help us. Philippians, the second chapter, says this, verses 1 through 5. It says, if there is any encouragement from belonging to Christ Jesus, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in spirit, are your hearts tender and compassionate, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and one purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for only your own interest, but take an interest in others as well. Or two, verse 5 says, you must have the same attitude that Jesus had. The same attitude that Jesus had. And so when I look at that passage of scripture and we're speaking of unity and alignment and discipline and those things, we must focus in on the right and proper resource and resources. And very simply, God has given us that right resource, and that's his son Jesus who died on the cross and the Holy Spirit that was promised to us to empower us, to strengthen us, to help us get through another day. God has given us the comfort of God's love when we need to be comforted by his love and his peace and his joy. God has given us the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. God has given us tenderness and compassion. And we speak of unity and alignment. We must understand that we focus in on the right things and the proper resources, which is God and the Spirit of God and Jesus. We must also develop the right attitudes. See, as a believer and as walking our life of believing, we must develop right attitudes. We must have the same thoughts of Christ. We must have the same loving attitude of Jesus, even though that person may not be so lovely right now. But Jesus would still love them. We must have the same purpose of Jesus, releasing the compassion and kindness in an ugly, ugly world, man. It's ugly out there. It truly is. But see, this is the attitude that Jesus had. No matter where they were at, he was willing to love them, willing to encourage them, willing to give them an opportunity to know the Father. We too must have that attitude, that thought process, the Spirit of God moving through us, the purpose that he's given us. And then we must develop the right practices. We must forsake selfish ambitions. We must begin to really practice becoming a humble servant, serving our brothers and sisters around us, serving those in the church and those in the community. We must become humble servant. Jesus came and he said, what? I came to serve. I came to serve. We must, as believers, you know, we must begin to look out for the interests of others. We must begin to have the mind of Christ. This is what we have. And so when we actually begin to align ourselves with God, when we begin to live disciplined spiritual lives, when we begin to embrace the spirit of unity, here's what begins to happen. God begins to move in a divine manner, because the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, they were all in one accord. And then suddenly the Spirit of God came. In the spirit of unity, in the spirit of love, in the spirit of oneness, God released an outpouring of the Spirit of God. I love that. They were aligned. They were connected. They've been disciplined, and they were in unity. See, in times of weakness, we will be sustained and strengthened by God and one another. I think of Moses. Moses was told to go to the mountaintop and to lift the staff, right? And every time the staff was lift, victory was coming to the army. But as Moses, in his personal, fleshly strength, began to get weak, and every time he began to get weak and his arms came down, what happened was what? It flipped. But because of alignment with God and what God had asked, and because of the spirit of unity and care for one another, Aaron and Hur ran up next to Moses and they lifted his hands up. We have to look to our brothers and sisters who are getting weak and getting tired or maybe falling. We got to run to them with this mindset of unity, with the mindset of the love of Jesus, and lift them up, encourage them, you know, do what is needed to help them move forward and not be held back in life. See, when we live with alignment and we live in disciplined lifestyle in the spirit of unity, great works from God get carried out. Nehemiah was asked to rebuild the wall, and that group of men were in unity. Half were working and half were guarding. And because of that unity, the wall was complete. When we live that way, all of a sudden, our prayer life becomes more powerful. See, because the spirit of unity, the Bible says where two or more are gathered, he's in our midst, right? And so think about it. If two or more are gathered and something supernatural is happening, what happens when the whole body comes together in one accord, calling on the God of heaven for salvation to the lost, for healing to the sick, for the wayward children who have gone astray, and we call them back into the house and we're in agreement and is unified? How powerful will that be? Right? How powerful will that be? And then what happens in alignment and discipline and unity, we begin to lead people to Jesus because we care. We know the story, or maybe you don't know the story. There's four men who had a friend who was paralyzed, and they brought him to Jesus. They laid him before Jesus, and the Lord healed them. But it was the four men that were aligned with knowing who God was and what he can do. And they had the spirit of unity, the four of them, to carry them, to bring them to Jesus. So that's what we have. So the question today, though, is where are we as a body? We can stand to our feet. I'm going to pray with you real quick. Where are you as a believer? Are you spiritually aligned?
Are you spiritually disciplined? And do you believe in the spirit of unity? And are you practicing trying to be unified instead of fractioned? Are you bringing unity instead of division? Can't answer it for you. You know where you're at. And so what I would love to do right now is pray for you, just like I did the first service and all those who were with us then, that there would be a stirring right now, that there would be an ability to be aligned with what God's doing, that there would be an ability to become disciplined in all that we do in our spiritual walk, and that we would embrace the spirit of unity and begin to squash the spirit of decision, of division, inside the church and outside the church. We must be an example. We must be an example. And so let me pray with you and for you this morning. Father, I pray that this day, whether those who are here in the sanctuary or those who are in their homes right now watching, Lord, that we come to you to help us to become spiritually aligned. Father, if we are out of alignment in any way, shape, or form, Lord, just as a chiropractor does in the natural, God, we ask that you do in the supernatural, in the spiritual, that you'd bring us back into alignment. You would show us, speak to us, lead us back into that state of alignment with you, with your word, with your Holy Spirit, and our prayer life, and in all those things that are needed to grow in you. Father, I declare alignment this day into our lives. Father, I pray for those who struggle with discipline, spiritual disciplines at that, that, Lord, you would help us to become more disciplined in those things that are needed to stay strong, to hear your voice with clarity, to fulfill the call that you placed in our life. God, I pray that you help us to be disciplined on those foundational things of reading, worship, praying, fasting. God, help us. Give us the strength. Give us the strength that is needed, oh God. And Father, I come against the spirit of division in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirit of division that tries to not only divide the church, but also the denominations from one another. Father, I come against the spirit of division in our land this day, in our country, in our communities, in our neighborhoods. Father, I pray that we would begin to join together as one unified body, as this group of believers did in the upper room. That, Father, we can realize that we may have differences, but that differences should not bring division in the sense of what we're seeing today. Father, I declare that this day that we would become one unified church, loving one another, even amongst these pews, but also taking that spirit of unity to the community and loving them. Father, we come before you and we ask that you help us to become just like that church, aligned, disciplined, and unified. We seek you as the head. I ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And in your name I pray. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Amen. So, real quick, before we take the offering, I just want to just remind you that small groups have started. We have three going right now. We have a men's small group. We have a small group on the good news of the gospel. And then Pastor Shirley, who's in the back. Pastor, just wave your arm back there. She's back there with Bishop Tom. She's starting a class on the glory of God. Okay? And so you need to register, though. So if you can go to the website and register for those, it's so important that you get registered with those, okay? Because we need to figure out where it's going to be with the number of people that have signed up for them. The second thing that I just want to talk about is we're doing a giant fundraiser this summer. We're doing a giant yard sale right here in the church parking lot with a chicken barbecue. We're going to add a chicken barbecue to it as well. So if you're like me, like I said, the other service, you probably have a lot of stuff in your basement or garage you don't even know you have anymore, and it's been sitting there forever, and you don't know what to do with it because you don't want to clean it and try to pay someone to take it away. I will take it for free. I will take it because we're going to sell it right here in the side parking lot, and then we're going to donate whatever's left to some organizations that can use it. So we'll donate what's left
out to those who need it, and then we're going to do a fundraiser for the church. We want to buy some new lighting and do some stuff with our kids department and stuff like that. And so if you have stuff in the basement, you know you do. Some of you still have some wedding gifts from like 35 years ago that haven't been opened yet. That's a re-gift right there. You go ahead and just bring that to me, and I'm going to mark it down, and we're going to sell it, and someone else is going to be blessed from it. And so you have a lot of stuff. And so, but also, once you give it to us, we're going to mark it to sell. I know if you're like me, I think everything I have is worth $1 million. But the reality is it's worth two. So we're going to mark it for what it's really worth to get rid of it, and then we'll go from there, okay? So we can use your help with that. And so I thank you for that. And so we're going to close our service with the receiving of our offering this day. Our offering is in the back of the church, and so you can drop that on the way out. So let's pray. Father, God of provision, the greatest provider known to us in this place, Father, we thank you not only for your word, but we thank you for your blessing, your provision in our lives. Father, we stand here with our tithes and offerings in hand, or we've already put them online or that are coming this week. Father, we thank you for this amazing opportunity to give back the first fruits of what you've been blessed with our finances. And so, God, I ask that you'd receive them, that you'd bless them. And Father, I pray that spirit of blessing upon everyone in this room today, that we can continue to grow the kingdom of God, glorifying you each step of the way. In your name I pray, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Thank you. Check the website. We'll see y'all soon.